Welcome back, everybody, for another episode of SLMA Radio. Brought to you on behalf of the thousands and thousands of members of the Sales Lead Management Association. If it has to do with sales lead management or sales lead marketing, it probably starts here with SLMA Radio Show. Today, as always, we're privileged to have with us the founder, the executive director, the man behind the SLMA, Jim Overmare, has brought along some guest hosts who are going to help him cover some interesting topics here this morning. Hey, Jim.
Thank you, Paul. Paul Roberts is our announcer and producer for all things in the Funnel Radio Channel. Our program today is how to shorten the sales cycle. Shortening a company's sales cycle has an outsized impact on the business, if you can do it. It reduces a competitor's market share, increases cash flow, reinforces sales forecast accuracy. But how to do it consistently is always the conundrum. Everybody wants it, not everybody gets it. Our host today on SLMA Radio is Dan Perry of the Brevet Group, and his guest is a founding partner of the Brevet Group, Brian Williams. Brian's favorite saying is, successful execution is all that matters. I love it. Brian has 25 years' experience integrating the worlds of strategy, marketing, and sales to help companies improve their customer-facing capabilities. His projects have focused on new tools, processes, and other enablers that connect big idea strategy to Salesforce implementation. Brian's obsessed with not only getting the what right, but also the how. I love the word obsessed. He's a past experience partner at Mercer, Bearing Point Consulting, Arthur Anderson, senior manager, big deal, PhD in business administration. Wow. Welcome, Brian.
Welcome.
And our host today is Dan. Dan approaches helping companies grow revenue from a unique perspective. He's got a big resume in sales. He's walked a mile in your shoes and knows the pitfalls, shortcuts, and tried and true strategies to make it work. As a sales leader at some of the best-run organizations, he has bridged the gap between strategy and execution and transforming the sales effort. Vast experience, Sales Benchmark Index, where he was the principal. Dan, we're turning the program over to you. Tell us how to shorten the sales cycle.
Thanks, Jim, and thanks for having Brian and I on today's show. So how do you shorten a sales cycle length? Reason why we want to talk about this subject today, it's the big issue. And we're seeing this on the radar of chief revenue officers, chief sales officers, chief operations officers, even CFOs, chief financial officers that we're working with. We're noticing that sales cycle length is increasing and unwaringly increasing to the point when our quota is not being made by quarter by our sales reps of the companies we're dealing with. And so I know we've done a lot of research, and I'm going to bring Brian in on this. Brian, are you seeing some of the same things? What's your take on this sales cycle length?
Yeah, absolutely, Dan. It's interesting. Obviously, in our line of work, we have the joy to interact with a lot of different sales leaders across a bunch of different industries, different size companies. Go back in time, maybe 5 or 10 years ago, that was the first KPI that people were talking about. But honestly, we're starting to see more and more that this is really a hot, hot topic and really the things that you're talking about. You know, it's really starting to make the difference whether or not you can make your number for the quarter or for the year. So certainly an enormous interest in this, almost an old school metric in our modern age. And what's really interesting to us is we do a lot of research. We have an opportunity to kind of use some of my old academic training to try and really bring a more data-driven look at some of the issues where we partner with our clients to help them address. And as we look at what's happening in that environment, we're seeing just a tremendous amount of trends that are pointing to differences in the way people are buying, differences in the way that decisions are being made, and all of these things are coming together to really start to lengthen out the sales cycles, and not just for complex B2B sales. We're actually seeing that in things that we would traditionally view as fairly transactional. So to your point, Dan, this is an interesting topic, so it's good that we're having this conversation today.
Yeah, and we see this, that selling is, quote, getting harder, right? There's more face-to-face meetings, or more virtual meetings in between those face-to-face meetings, that's really slowing down the process. So in particular, Brian, if you could like try to drive into the tactics of this, what's driving this lengthening of the sales process? Or, you know, we mentioned data. What are you seeing in the data?
Actually, just in the first quarter, we have collected deal-level data, meaning not in doing a survey of an individual company or an individual sales professional. We've actually had them think about individual opportunities that they're working on. And we've collected data on over 5,000 deals just in Q1. And one of the data points we're looking at is how long are these deals been in your pipeline? What really is your sales length? And our quick analysis just coming out of Q1 shows that, to your point, those selling cycles are lengthening. We're seeing trends in some sectors, double-digit lengthening in terms of what might have been a nine-month cycle is now even as long as 18 months. So you're actually blurring into another fiscal year, which, to your earlier point, has a major impact on people's being able to hit their number. A tremendous amount of lengthening. And when we start to take apart what's happening, what's driving that, there's just an interesting selling environment. And I think all of your listeners are going to be feeling this and seeing this up close and personally. But, you know, the number of decision makers in these average deals continues to increase. And even what might have been a fairly simple, even a four-digit type of a deal, lots of people inside that buying organization are weighing into that process. Taking the time to have more face-to-face meetings, to get everybody aligned, to drive that consensus in that buying unit, taking a lot of time. And the other thing that's kind of interesting, Dan, is that as we look at the issues that people are trying to address, there continues to be actually a lot of confusion over the definition of even the problem or the issue they're trying to solve for, which obviously impacts the concern over what the solution is. You know, what may have been in the old days that the buyer had a real clear view of what they were trying to solve for. Hey, Dan, I'm calling you up. Come over here and help me solve X. They're starting to get maybe a little fuzzy on what X is. Is X plus Y plus all kinds of things? So you're spending lots of time early in that sales cycle to validate those issues, to get focused around the solution, try and drive some differentiation between you and your competitors. And what's funny is because the world's changing so fast, what may have been that first problem that they brought you in on, if you fast forward in a sales cycle that might be 6, 9, 12 months later, that issue continues to itself move. So it's an interesting space. And I think, again, it's presenting some tremendous challenges for our sales leaders and our individual sales professionals.
It's confusion, I think, over the problem more than anything else. You know, some companies are doing a really good job of this. When you pin this down and try to break it down into these issues, is it the confusion over the problem they can't agree with? Maybe the solution, the vendor? Well, what are you seeing causing this issue? And then I know some companies are doing a good job at this. What are they doing to overcome that?
It's a bit of a hot mess in some respects. You know, when we think about this, and try to follow with me a little bit because this kind of gets complex, but it really is representative of these complex deals that people are working through. But when you think about what the problem is really three pieces of the pie, right? I mean, the first piece says, hey, I'm feeling some symptoms. You know, I've got an issue inside my company I'm dealing with. I've got some labor issues. I've got, you know, some IT issues. Whatever that presenting issue is, you know, that's one piece of the pie. The second piece of the pie is I got a vision of where I'm trying to go. What does good look like? You know, what is more efficient? What does a more effective solution do for me? And then the third piece of the pie is how am I going to get there? You know, I could either try to piece parts a bunch of point solutions together. I could outsource that. I could try to tackle that myself. The complexity is not only do I need to figure out what that problem is, I've got to kind of figure out the path and what does good look like, et cetera, et cetera. And again, our good sellers are in there early, right? And this is 101, right? We want to be in there shaping the concept, shaping an understanding of what the issue and the problem is. But it's a very dynamic environment. So again, if you can imagine in a simpler world, fewer meetings, fewer interactions with different department and functional heads, et cetera, those deals are going to close faster. But this is the new reality. And again, it's requiring our professionals to think about different ways to drive through that sales process. In terms of what we're seeing, in terms of, you know, how do you address that, it's interesting. We kind of put it into two categories. One I'll call fairly foundational, really the basics. These are things that we like to call the old common sense, but not common practice. And I know we, honestly, if I were to open up a textbook or some kind of sales training from 25 years ago, we would say to do this. We know that folks are not doing that. Number one is you got to get in there and you got to do good discovery. Stephen Covey's line around going slow to go fast is absolutely a truism in sales, right? And And we continue to see reps in there. They think to drive a faster sales cycle, to get that velocity, I'm just going to drive that discovery faster. And guess what? It always backfires because all those complex issues we were just talking about. So taking the time up front to execute really solid discovery and validate those issues, validate their concept around the solution, that's really key. And I know, Dan, you've been doing a lot of ride-alongs even in the first quarter. Unfortunately, I think we got a bad report card on what some of the reps, some of the discovery activities you're seeing the folks that you've been with even seeing just in the last few months, right?
Yeah, you know, it's a ride-along that I've been on, and I've probably been on, if I counted them up in the first, you know, 5 months, about 4.5 months of this year, about 30 of them. And what we're seeing, to your point, Brian, is, well, not even questioning, it's more product dumping. It's just sloppy selling. And so what I mean by sloppy selling is they're not asking the right questions and they're product pitching. And the reason why they're product pitching is the old, you know, throw stuff on the wall and see what sticks, is because they're under such pressure to make the number. They can't get enough leads in their funnel. And so the leads that they do have or opportunities that they have are really not qualified. And so when they're not qualified, you kind of product pitch, hoping that you'll get some kind of spark or interest from the decision maker. And quite frankly, we're not even talking to decision makers, but that's a whole nother issue. And what happens then is, you know, a lot of times it's just bad, sloppy selling, bad qualification, bad prospecting that's happening, which leads then into an extended sales cycle length.
Absolutely. You know, if you execute good basic discovery, the other flaw that related to that very point is our guys and gals are so under such pressure to try to and get these deals going. They do the other piece of the bad discovery, which is they start just taking at face value what the prospect is telling them. Just as we said before, this very complex environment, many times customers are misdiagnosing even what their issues are, right? They're telling you, oh, well, you know, it's like taking your car to the car repair place, right? I admittedly don't know a lot about my own car. So you show up, you do a little Googling on the internet, and you come to some determination of what the issue is, and you try to tell the expert at the auto shop what the problem is. A disaster is when that expert takes what you're saying at face value. So good discovery, slowing down, questioning, you know, in a respectful way, but bringing your own insights around what some of those issues are, that's key. It feels like it's slower, but it's absolutely critical to driving the faster sales link in today's.
Well, think about this, right? So if a person's got 50, works 50 weeks in a year, which is probably aggressive, but if he works 50 weeks in a year, he works 50 hours a week, 2,500 hours in a year you're working. And we've been asking people what their selling time, percentage of selling time is. And most commonly, we get back 30%. So in a sense, 750 hours, 30% of that 2,500, 750 hours a year or 15 hours a week of selling time. That really means face-to-face customer interactions or virtual, you know, customer interactions. 15 hours a week. You need to be sure if that's all you got, you're working on qualified opportunities, getting good discovery. And when you do those two things, the sales cycle length will shorten.
I hate to interrupt this here, but we're going to have to take a quick break to hear from our commercial sponsors. We'll be back in just a moment.
And for a quick moment, we just want to remind you that BrevNet is a B2B sales consulting firm that bridges the gap between strategy and execution. They partner with complex organizations, probably like yours, to increase sales productivity. Their unique approach combines strategic consulting with custom training and technology-driven reinforcement, all three legs of the stool here, to help their clients reach their sales goals. If you want to reach yours, only one place to go. Reach for your mouse and scroll over the BrevNetGroup.com. That's T-H-E, BrevNetGroup.com. All right, let's pick it back up with Jim and his guest.
Thank you, Paul. It's nice to hear from our commercial sponsors. It's been a great program so far, how to shorten the sales cycle, and we've heard some snippets of some brand new research that the Revit group is going to be releasing. Dan, let's take it over to you in your discussion with Brian and take it home.
Thank you, Jim. And again, we're talking about how to shorten the sales cycle length. But first, Brian, tell us a little bit about the Brevik Group.
Absolutely, and super excited to be a part of the conversation on the show today. You know, Brevik is a business-to-business sales consulting firm, and we are hyper-focused on really bridging that gap between strategy and execution. That's a huge issue we see across all of our clients. So we focus on partnering with companies to really drive an increase in productivity and effectiveness in their selling efforts. And we really do this in kind of a unique combination of three things. We do the upfront strategic consulting. We're able to execute with custom training in the field and back it up with reinforcement using technology. And it's a really unique combination in achieving a lot of great results with our clients.
Thank you, Brian. So let's dive back into how to shorten the sales cycle length. We talked a little bit about sloppy selling. We talked about poor discovery and qualification and using your, you know, 15 hours of selling time a week. Hopefully that'll improve, but 15 hours a week, you know, of selling time. I know we've got some emerging ideas from our research around things like called adaptive. Can you dig into that for me? And Brian, how to shorten a sales cycle length around this whole thing of being more adaptive in the sales process?
Absolutely. You know, this is a big foundation of our firm and a lot of where we're seeing success in the marketplace. This really started with research many years ago as we were trying to really understand what could really differentiate high performance. And one of the things that we know that high performing sales professionals are doing is they're much better at assessing the situation and applying the right instrument, the right tool to solve the specific problem. In other words, they don't come into a deal or a specific opportunity and try to use one-size-fits-all selling. You know, we've seen, even in the last few years, right, the emergence of all kinds of new selling strategies and techniques, kind of flavors of the day, whether it's the Challenger sale or some other kind of thing. One of the things we know and what the research backs up is, not to say any of that stuff is bad, but it has to be applied in the right situation. What is this about? What is this an adaptive approach? We call it adaptive opportunity management. We think this is key to driving a more efficient sales process to get those sales cycles shortened. Because what it starts with is really improving the situational awareness of your sales professionals. And what do we mean by situational awareness? Well, when we look at whether it's elite fighter pilots, whether we look at surgeons, top performing athletes, what do? They adapt in the moment. They have literally inside of their head a more robust set of index cards. They've seen patterns like this. They walk into a sales meeting, they pick up on the situational cues, they're able to see that pattern, and they work through their experience to realize, hey, in this kind of a situation, I know I better not do this, but I should do that. So they're starting to build the patterns around what are the things they're facing in a selling situation. As we know, these sales, particularly these complex sales, there's not one call, right? There's multiple face-to-face or telephone or virtual interactions. And as they're going through that sales process, looking at some of those key factors. And what companies are starting to do, and one of the things that we're really excited about working with our clients around, is starting to take what is that individual trait, kind of that, you know, one high-performing guy because he's been doing that for 35 years. How do you take that individual trait and you make that more of an organizational capability? And you can do that through training and enablement and lots of playbooks and lots of other ways that we've been working with our clients around. But the key there is they develop a shortcut around the pattern they're seeing in that opportunity. And when they do that, they're able to, again, to focus and drive the right kind of selling strategy for that situation. It becomes, again, more adaptive and gets them to apply those right strategies in the right situations. And we call the strategies, to kind of continue the sort of thinking around there, our label we put on that are plays. Just like the football analogy, right? A high-performing quarterback has got a playbook on the risk, multiple plays. They've worked up well ahead of that game. But in the game, you're in a particular time position on the field. The defense is in a certain positioning. You've got to build some situational awareness based upon the previous plays. Here's a particular score on the clock. Well, you know what? Going through that linear game plan, it's not necessarily the right strategy. And, you know, unfortunately, a lot of our old methodologies sort of look like that. You do step one, you do step two, step three. With that really strong situational awareness, they're able to pull the right play for that situation. And so what, again, our high-performing organizations are doing is they're starting to codify these selling strategies, which are, Dan, I like to call them kind of the must-dos. These are the things like, you know, what are the key questions I'm going to ask? What are those key factors I'm going to be paying attention to? What are the things I'm going to say, the message points? What are the pieces of collateral or proof points I'm going to use? What's that next sales customer action I'm going to be focused on? These become codified, kind of go to, I see this pattern, I do this. And you do it multiple times as you're navigating through these complex sales. And again, what you're driving is a much more efficient execution of the deal. You're not getting bogged down. You're able to continue to adapt as you're moving through these complex situations. And again, it's dramatically shortening the sales cycles we're seeing in our clients.
You know, Brian, that's probably persuasive across industries. In our clients, whether it's business services, manufacturing, or even cloud or SaaS-based software, these sales plays that are run at the right in the right situation have shortened the sales cycle because they actually are best practices that the top reps are doing. So, Brian, if you wanted to do or create a sales play for your company and shorten the sales cycle, what's the first step?
Yeah, and we can do this multiple ways, but number one is this is built on what your high performers are doing. And a lot of this process is we use the phrase, we say, how do you make the latent, meaning the things that are buried deep down in the heads of your high performers, how do you make the latent blatant? And we do that often by sitting around and doing some very intense workshops with your high performers to try and help them understand the patterns that they see and the kinds of plays that they run. But we also do that through some fairly sophisticated statistical work where we have your sales team start to do a little bit of a mental debrief on the deals that they won and the deals that they lost. And it really helps us to discern what is the most important action. Because often, and here's a little bit of a secret, often even your best performers, they're so good at what they do, they're not even aware, and it's hard for them to even articulate that. So that's kind of what the process is how do you start to do a little bit of a almost a deep dive analysis to start to extract that insight and that knowledge. And the key is to codify it so that the 22-year-old rep can start to act and feel and perform like that 35-year veteran in the organization. And again, this is all tied in to trying to shorten that sales cycle to drive the close faster for the teams.
Well, it sounds like, you know, the key strategies here, right, that you just kind of went through, if I kind of try to summarize this, is that you're ensuring ensure the reps are executing the basics, definitely around discovery, get rid of the sloppy selling, the foundational selling skills that was taught to me. I think also about qualifying opportunities, so using your, you know, how many hours of selling time that you have per week, are you working on the right opportunities that are qualified, things that can actually sell, that you can get through problem, solution, kind of vendor selection in the process, and they don't kind of stall out. And then I think if you go a little more advanced, what we just talked about is you want to equip your reps, improve their situational awareness, understand when an opportunity is present and there's a situation in that opportunity that you recognize, consciously recognize, and then there's a sales play map to that situation so you can execute the sales play for this unique deal and actually be successful in advancing the sales. Did I summarize those right, Brian? Did I get that all wrapped up?
Absolutely. And again, you know, it's like most things in life, right? It's oftentimes the basic, but also it's some advanced things. And I think the companies we're seeing that are really addressing the sales cycle issue is they're doing a combination of these things. And I think, again, it's been proving fairly successful, and it's a pretty exciting opportunity for sales leaders. But you got to pay attention to it. I mean, this is not something that's going to just happen. You have to be fairly intentional in terms of driving the kind of management focus, the coaching focus, sales enablement focus around these issues.
And I think if you add on to that, right, another byproduct of this is not only sales cycle length is shortening, but win rate improves with that as well. And if you get the kind of both of those working in the right direction, you're going to be super successful in shortening sales cycle length and improving win rate, and then making sure your sales managers, to your point, are coaching to this, right? Because that frontline management is so important.
We've been speaking with Brian Williams and Dan Perry talking about how to shorten the sales cycle. You've done a great job of setting it up in the first half. of the problems and the issues and the research that you have found that's lengthening the sales cycle. And the last half, you told us how to fix the problem. Too many people come on our programs telling us what the problem is, but they don't tell us how to solve it. Brian and Dan, how does someone reach you?
Well, it's easy, Jim. TheBrevetGroup.com. You can also ping us through LinkedIn. Brian and I are both there, Brian Williams and Dan Perry. On LinkedIn, you can hit us there, or just good old-fashioned email, Dan.Perry@TheBrevetGroup.com or Brian.Williams@TheBrevetGroup.com. And we'd be more than happy to have further discussions about this.
Thank you very much. Dan, why don't you take your program home?
Shortening sales cycles are extremely important in today's hypersensitive world of making the number by sometimes not even quarters, now it's months. And to do that, you've got to take the time to slow down the beginning of the process to really speed up at the end of a buying process. And to do that, good fundamentals, be adaptive in the right selling situation, and you'll be successful. So we look forward to talking to you more, Jim, and thanks again for your time. We'll hopefully be on again soon.
Brian and Dan, thank you very much. Paul, over to you for our CRM radio program.
You've been listening to another episode of SLMA Radio. Brought to you on behalf of the thousands and thousands of members of the Sales Lead Management Association. It has to do with sales lead manager and sales lead marketing. It probably starts here with the SLMA Radio Show.